how is this a Pesach different than all other Psachim? And of course, the answer is obvious in so many ways, that this night and this Pesach is for each and every one of us. As I mentioned, the shiur I gave a couple nights ago, I don't think there's a Jew in the world that their plans for Pesach has not been impacted and affected by what's been going on around the world. Each and every one of us had plans to be somewhere, to go somewhere, to host people. So we've all been impacted. We've all been affected. Not only been impacted, but probably I would imagine for most of us, what we probably most anticipate about Pesach, for probably almost every one of us here, we're not going to have that this year. What do we most enjoy and look forward to about Pesach? It's being together with family, being together with dear friends, with loved ones, sitting around the Seder and sharing ideas and memories and having conversations and seeing the generations, the parents and the grandparents and the children and the great-grandchildren, and to see loved ones and dear friends. We're not going to, unfortunately, we're not going to have that this year. And Pesach is so much about family. It's so much about community. In fact, when the Jewish people were first instructed and commanded to take the Korban Pesach, so we're told in Parshas Bo, we read this a couple weeks ago in Parshas Achodesh, Dabru kol das b'nei Yisrael le'mor, Hashem told Moshe to share with the Jewish people, Basar l'chodesh azev, yichul ha'am sa'ish l'veis avos l'abayis, that the Korban Pesach had to be taken l'veis avos and sell l'abayis, which Chazal and Rashi tells us, teaches us, that the Korban Pesach was to be shared with a larger extended family, that the extended family would get together and they would have take this lamb and everyone would eat a kezias, a small amount. And that's how Pesach was to be celebrated, with the family unit, with the extended family unit coming together. And then eventually, ultimately, when we came to, we were going to come to the land of Israel and we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash. So there, not only would the entire family unit be together, but the Torah tells us in Parshas Re'eh and Sefer Devarim, we're told the following: Lo suchal lizboch es haPesach be'achad she'arecha asher Hashem Elokecha nosin lach. That you're not allowed to slaughter and eat the Korban Pesach in wherever you happen to live. If you live in Tel Aviv and in Modi'in, you live in Tveria, wherever you can't bring your Korban Pesach there. Rather, rather, where should you bring the Korban Pesach? And this applies to every single Jew. Only one location: to Yerushalayim, right, to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, that all Jews had to congregate and come together and be together to celebrate the Chag. Of course, you would bring the Korban in the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone would go back to their designated locations where they were spending a Pesach in Yerushalayim and eat the Pesach there with their family, but the entire Jewish people would be there together. And in fact, Pesach, like the other Shal Shagom, like Sukkot and Shavuos as well, is all about the Jewish people coming together. Three times in the Torah instructs us about the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, of ascending to Yerushalayim in Parshas Kitisa, Sholosh Poim Bashana, Kol Zerchorchas Pnei Adon. Everyone should come to ascend and to encounter God in Parshas Re'eh, Shos Pamim Bashana, B'makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, Yireh Kol Zerchorcha, and then once a third time in Parshas Vayelech, Miked Sheva Shanim, here talking about the mitzvah of Hakel, Devo Kol Yisrael Erosos Pnei Hashem Lokacha Makom Asher Yivchar. When all the Jewish people come together, you then should celebrate the Yontif, and on every seventh year you engage in Hakel. And on Sukkot, Yontif, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos is a time for us to come together. And there's several examples in the Navi that talk about this experience of the entire Jewish people being together and celebrating together. I'll just give you one example. One is found in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, in the time of Chizkiyahu, the great king of Yehuda. It tells us in a Parak Divrei Yamin Beis, Parak Lamed, Yishlach Chizkiyahu al Kol Yisrael v'Yudah v'Gam Igros Kesav al Ephraim v'Menasha Lavo l'Veis Hashem Yushalayim Lasos Pesach. He sends letters to the entire Jewish people all in his kingdom of Yehuda, as well as those in the north, in Ephraim and Manasseh, those who had still were alive after the Assyrians had come in and devastated and exiled the 10 tribes. Those that remained, he invited the entire Jewish people to come to Yerushalayim to celebrate the Pesach. And the Gemara tells us, the Mishnayos and the Gemara in Mishkalim tell us that in order to prepare for the throngs of Jews who would in mass would go to Yerushalayim, they would have the construction crews would be out. They'd be fixing Misaknin, Esa Drachin, Esa Archovos. Right at the beginning of Masechta Shkalim, they would fix the bridges and the roads to prepare for all the Jews who would come to celebrate the Yom Tovim. And we're told as well, skip around a little bit here. We're told as well that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos teaches us in Parakeh, Halacha Zion, that certain miracles took place in the Beis Hamikdash. And one of those miracles, Omdim Tzfufim Mishtachvim Revachim, that so many people came, so many Jews were together, were so close to one another on the Yom Tovim, that you would be crowded, everyone would be standing up, one next to the other, but there was a miracle took place that everyone could do could bow down when they would hear the Shema Hashem and would have enough room. The Lo Amar Adam L'Chaveiro, no one said to their friend, Sarli Amakom Sha'olim V'Yushalayim. No one would say, I don't have enough space. It was packed, but there was enough room for everyone. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, this is referring to specifically Kisha'olim Yushalayim, Kisha'olim L'Regel. When they went on the Regel to Yushalayim, right, there was enough room for everyone. Ibn Ezra, just to describe how many Jews came together on the Yom Tovim, tells us based upon the Tehillim Kuf Chaf Beis 122 of Omdos Hayur Aglenu B'Sharach Yerushalayim, that our feet were standing in the gates of Yerushalayim. What does that mean, that our feet were standing in the gates of Yerushalayim? V'hanachon ki hi haisa malaya adam, but Yerushalayim was packed. V'hayinu misarbim b'sharim, people were in the gates. Right, they're going through Shar Yafo, they're going through Shar Shchem. And you couldn't even get through the gates. There were so many people. All the Jewish people were coming together to celebrate. How many Jews were there to celebrate the Chag, to celebrate the Yom Tov? So the numbers are staggering. Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim, on Samach Daled on Beis, that one year, Pam Achas, Bikesh Agrippus Hamelach Litein Enav the Och Losi Yisrael, that Agrippus the king, who was the king, I believe he was the grandson of Herod, this was about maybe 30 years or so before the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. He wanted to count the Jews on Pesach, specifically Pesach. Jews came for Shavuos, they came for Sukkot, but the biggest crowds were Pesach. That's when the most people came, obviously, to bring the Korban Pesach. And so he told the Kohen Gadol, Amri Lei, the Kohen Gadol, Tein Einecha Bipsachim, Nato Kulya Mikol Echad. Take a kidney from every Korban Pesach, and when you're done, when you're finished doing all the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, count how many kidneys there are. And so how many kidneys did they find? V'nimshu Sham Shishim Riboy, 600,000 pairs, 600,000 pairs of kidneys. And it says, And you have to remember, not everyone was there, right? There were some people who were tameh, who couldn't arrive, they were impure. Some people were derech rechoka, some people just were too far away, they just weren't able to make it. The ein lecha kol pesach v'pesach, shol nimnu alav yosim yastar b'nei adam. Every Korban Pesach itself, at least 10 people would join together for one Korban Pesach. So you do 600,000 times 10, and it's a huge number. And if you think that's an exaggeration, so Josephus, I have here from Josephus's Wars in chapter 6, he tells you that in one particular Pesach, there were 2,700,000 people who were in Yerushalayim for Pesach. Josephus says that. 2,700,000 people. And so this is just my question. My question for this year is that Pesach is all about us coming together. It's all about being with the family. It's that Korban Pesach that at least 10 people would, at a minimum, would eat one Korban, sell a Vesavos, sell a Bias with your family, with your greater family household, family unit. It's when the Jewish people would come together in mass and be together and celebrate together, throngs of people. And this year, V'napachu. And this year, it's just the total opposite. And this year, instead of coming together, we're all separate. We're all locked up in our homes. All our plans have fallen through. Our family and our and those who are close to us, who we thought we were going to be together with, is not going to happen this year. And therefore, you know, how do we manage this? And how can we best grapple with this reality? And how can we make the most of Pesach, even though it's not living up to how we dreamed and how we had planned? So in the theme of Pesach, I'd like to give four suggestions. I guess number four just popped in my head this year, but I thought it'd be a good number to share four different messages. So message number one is the theme of Achdus, of coming together. And there is a Gemara Yerushalmi that picks up on that Tehillim I just cited a moment ago of Kuf Chaf Beis 122. If Amr Bishur ben Levi, this is in Maseches Chagiga, Yerushalayim habniya k'ir shechur b'lo yachdav. That Yerushalayim is a city that brought us all together as a people. Is a city that unified us. It's a city that all Jews became friends with one another. Right? That all Jews were able to connect and to see one another and to engage one another and to celebrate together. And the Pnei Moshe, one of the commentaries on the side of the Yerushalmi, says the following. Lamad halayir shehi osa kol Yisrael chaveru. That when the Jewish people, when the Shvatim, the various tribes, when he was sent to Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Regalim, so that was a time that not only was everyone there as an individual bringing their Korban Pesach and even being there just with their own family, but it was a time of unity. It was a time of Jews recognizing that we're part of one Am and part of one nation, and that we were here to support and to celebrate together. And I found online a very beautiful comment. I don't know who this person is. His name is Reuven Bronner, I think you pronounce his name. He had a website or an article called The Concise Laws of the Korban Pesach. And I'll just read what he writes very, very, very beautifully. The chavura, the family, the household, the neighbors and friends constitutes a community By offering the Korban Pesach and the national Beis HaMikdash, each of these mini communities proclaims that they are part of the greater community of Knesset Yisrael, the Assembly of Israel. That everyone in the Chabura must eat of the Korban symbolizes that each individual is an integral member of each of these larger communities whom he is obligated and through which he serves God. And so the whole way that the Pesach was created was that, you know, you have your family unit, where you eat your Korban Pesach with that family, but then you're in your Yerushalayim, and everyone is there together. Everyone is there to understand that we're in this together, and that we're part of a larger nation, a larger people. The Rambam, and I've cited this Rambam many times, the Rambam mentions this halacha in different contexts. The Rambam reminds us, this is both, I think, sad this year, but also, again, emphasizes this point. He says that when you... This is in the laws of Yontif. In Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vav, Halacha Yodches, Kishu Ochel V'Shosa, that when you eat and you drink, when you have your suda, your meal on Yontif, Tayev L'Echol, L'Ger, L'Yasum, V'Almana, Imshart, Haniyim HaMalim. You have to share that meal not only with yourself and your immediate family, but also with those less fortunate, with the stranger and the orphan and the widow, and those who are poor, and those who are in need. That Yontif is about taking care of each other. It's about making sure that we're here for one another. And there's Rav Hirsch, on that pasuk that I quoted earlier about all the Jewish people coming to Yerushalayim and bringing the Korban Pesach specifically in Yerushalayim, the Rebbe says the following. He says, why does the Torah emphasize that the Korban Pesach had to be brought in Yerushalayim? Because the truth of the matter is, the Torah says earlier, every Korban has to be brought in Yerushalayim. Anytime you want to bring a Korban, right, you're not allowed to bring it in a bama, in a private altar in your backyard. You had to go to Yerushalayim. But then the Torah emphasized specifically Korban Pesach also in Yerushalayim. So why would I think it should be different? So he says the following. It is necessary to expressly repeat this prohibition in connection with the Pesach offering. For the Pesach is the offering that constitutes the home and the family. Again, what we saw before is Sela Beis Avos, Sela Bayis. The Pesach shall not be made in each person's hometown, but only in God's place, in the central sanctuary. One must place himself and his household within the common circle of the nation, united on the basis of the sanctuary of the Torah, and only then can one happily recognize the value of his own home. And so the first message that I want to share with you is this idea that although maybe this year we physically can't be together, and unfortunately we can't be with our family units, with our friends, and this year, like the last 2,000 years, we're unable to be in Yerushalayim and to be in the Beis HaMikdash and to have the entire Jewish people together, but nonetheless, the values of what that represents, of taking care of one another, of supporting each other, of doing what we can to encourage and give strength to one another, that always applies. That most certainly applies this year. And there's so many things that we can do to be supportive and to take care of each other. And whether it's financially helping out those who are in need right now, if it's just calling friends and neighbors and members of the community and asking how you're doing, I'm thinking of you, is everything okay? Can I be helpful in any way? It's reaching out to those people who maybe we don't usually connect with, but to take advantage of the opportunity that we have. So we're disconnected in many ways, but in many ways we're more connected than ever. I just look at what we're doing right now. We're all watching and seeing each other and learning together. We're far away geographically, perhaps. We're physically separated, but emotionally and spiritually, in terms of support, we're very, very close, perhaps even closer than we ever were. We need to take advantage of that. We need to recognize that that's our responsibility, that's our tafkid right now, to be here for one another and to give each other chizik and to support one another. That's like the first thing. First thing about that's unique about this Pesach this year, that's something we should take advantage of, and something to recognize is a gift, an opportunity, specifically this year, this particular Pesach. The second message I want to share with you comes from a very fascinating Medrash. The Medrash tells us and discusses, why do we drink four cups of wine at the Seder? And so, the most famous reason, it represents the four Lashono Shel Geula, the four expressions of redemption. But the Medrash gives some other interesting reasons. And one of them is the following. This is the Medrash Rabban, Parshas Vayeshev. The Kos Paro B'yodi Mikan Kogu Chachamim Arba Koso Shel Leili Pesach Kineged Arba Kosos. It corresponds to the four cups. What four cups? Shenemru kan v'kos paro biyadi. Nesata kos paro. This is a reference to the story of Yosef, and specifically to his interpretation of the dream of the Sar Hamashkim, of the butler. Yosef's in prison. He's all alone. He's scared. He's frightened. He has no idea when he's ever going to get out of this dungeon. He's secluded, he's far away from his family, he's locked up, not knowing what tomorrow will bring, what the future will occur, and all of a sudden, he sees, right, these two people who look very troubled, the butler and the baker, and he asks them, what's wrong, and the Sar HaMashkim shares his dream. And so four times in his dream, he mentions the word kos, the cup of paro, kos paro biyadi, kos paro akos, kos paro biyado. And so Says the Medrash that because of those four times that the word coast, cup, is mentioned in that story, so that's why we have the four cups of wine. So what does that mean? So I found a number of years ago, Yeshiva University published a Haggadah, and in that Haggadah, they cite Rabbi Jacob J. Shafter, one of my teachers, cites Rav Meir Goldlicht, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU. He says the following. Rav Meir Goldlicht pointed out that there is another consideration here that explains Yosef's opposite interpretations in a way that is directly relevant to my points. In other words, Yosef interprets two dreams, the butler and the baker. And the butler, he gives a very horrible report, tragic report, that the baker is going to be killed, but that the butler, he's going to live. Now, how did Yosef know that? How was Yosef able to, just based upon the details and the dreams, knew that everything would be fine for the butler, but not for the baker? And so if Goldberg suggests that the dream of the butler describes a process. First, there was a grapevine, then there were tendrils, then they blossomed, then fruit came forth as the clusters ripened into grapes, then the grapes were squeezed to produce wine, and then that wine was poured into a cup and presented to Paro. Yosef says with Goldwith understood that this is the way of the world. Good things take time and follow a step-by-step process. And so he interpreted this dream favorably. As opposed to the baker, the very first image he sees is not of wheat, it's not of flour, it's not of kneading, but rather it's of loaves of bread. No process at all. Upon hearing this dream, then Yosef concluded that this was impossible because nothing is created whole and complete, and therefore recognized that this dream could only have a negative interpretation. And Rav Shachter concludes, and he says, I would add, when Yosef heard the dream of the butler, he recognized that all good things take time to unfold. And he drew strength from that to his own bleak and challenging situation. After all, when thrown into a prison in a strange land with absolutely no allies of support, Yosef must have spent long nights fearing that the enraged, spurned wife of Potiphar would ensure that he would be banished to the darkness of the dungeon forever, that he would never again see the light of day. But the dream of the butler gave him hope, which led him immediately to follow his interpretation of this dream with a hopeful and optimistic plea to the butler. Yes, now I believe that someday I will be redeemed, thought Yosef. And therefore he said to the butler, I need your help. Redemption is a process. Redemption takes time, patience, and faith. And so my next message is that, we're now in the dungeon. We're now, similar to Yosef, we don't know what the future will bring. We don't know how long this is going to unfold. But we don't know what will be with ourselves, our health, and those who we care and love and care so deeply about. I've told people, I don't know if you want to hear this part, but I am mentally prepared for 2 years to be like this. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think the Spanish flu lasted at least 2 years. So if it's less than 2 years, I'll be grateful. And God willing, it will be. But I'm ready for 2 years if it needs to be that long. And again, if it's less than that, then great. But we'll get through this. We're going to get through this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised a geula to us, a redemption. The Jewish people are an eternal people. If you look back in history, the Spanish flu, the Black Plague, and polio, and so many other things, the world is still around. The world will still be here. Right? That is guaranteed. Right? There's a future for us as a people. We're here forever. We just don't know how long it's going to last. But if you think about Jews during the Holocaust, even thinking of people in our community like Esther Posner, who were, as a child, locked up, hiding, and not having any communication like we have right now, and not knowing, if ever this would pass, and if they would get out of this, and somehow being able to manage those horrible history, and not only emerging from that total destruction, but flourishing later in life, and living life to the fullest, and having joy, and having a simcha, and accomplishing so many things. That's been always the secret of our people, of getting through, not only getting through the dark times, but accomplishing during the dark times, and having faith during the times of difficulty, and growing, and making the most of the situation, and then understanding that there will be a time once again of joy and of simcha and of happiness, and to recognize that it's a process. It's a process, but that process, and that will now transition to my third point, it just takes an understanding that there's certain things we have to do during this process. So I'd like to share the following. You know, this is not the first time Jewish people have been told to lock their doors and to stay inside. I can unmute you for a second. When was the first time Jews were told to unlock their doors and stay inside?
Korban.
Right, so the first time, I think I was supposed to say that.
Plague.
The first time was the very first Seder night ever. Right, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Let me get the exact pasuk. We're told, again, we read this a couple weeks ago in Parshas HaChodesh, Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people, tell us about the makas b'choros, and the blood should be on this on your doorposts. That your job on the first Pesach was to stay inside, because there's a mashchis. All right, there's a destroyer that's outside, and there's a plague that's afflicting. And if you want to protect yourself, you need to remain indoors, place that blood on the doorposts, which symbolize our faith in the Ribono Sholom, our commitment, our tfilos, but protect yourself. Don't venture outside. And you know, this is our tafkid right now. This is our mitzvah. Our mitzvah right now is the mitzvah pikuach nefesh, of protecting and saving ourselves and saving our loved ones. I mentioned this a couple nights ago, and I every year before Yom Kippur, inevitably I'll get a call from a couple of our members who unfortunately are in compromised medical situations. There's always a question about eating and fasting, Yom Kippur, and sometimes I'll have to give a psak, a ruling, that their situation is so precarious that they cannot fast. Even with the shiurim, even with the limiting what they eat, there's such a dire situation that they're not allowed to fast. And I'll never forget one of our members a number of years ago, when I spoke to this member about this, they were so distraught. They told me, Rabbi, for over 60 years I have fasted. How can I not fast this year? So I told them, you know what, for 60 years, your mitzvah, what Hashem wanted you to do, was to fast. But guess what, on the 61st year, the mitzvah that you have, what Hashem wants you to do this year, is to take care of yourself. And your mitzvah this year is to eat. And if you fast, you're not going to be doing a mitzvah, you're going to be performing an aver, you're going to be performing a sin. And so I feel in many ways for us this year, by staying home, and by not having guests, and by not going out, that is our mitzvah this year. And for us to invite guests into our homes, that's not the Pesach, for whatever reason, Hashem wants this year. Hashem does not want us having guests. He does not want us even having our own family members. He does not want us having our grandparents and our grandchildren. Why? I do not know. We have to turn to Hashem and look inwardly in terms of maybe things we need to do better and to improve. But our mitzvah this year is to lock our doors, to stay inside, and to protect ourselves. And I don't know if you saw, I know this was going around, there's it was published in Jewish Action in 2001, the OU's Jewish Action, a story that was in Bergen-Belsen in 1944. And the story is told about a Rabbi Aaron Davids, who was taken to Bergen-Belsen. And he was in his early 40s. He was separated in the camp from his wife, Arika, and their three children. And we're told that this Rabbi Davids was with some other Jews. It was Seder nights, and somehow they're able to sit in one of the barracks, and they sat around trying to have a Seder. And it says, when the Seder reached the climatic moment of reciting the bracha, who has sanctified us by his commandments and command us to eat the matzah. Right, it came to God, he lifted his voice and recited clearly the following prayer. Heavenly Father, it is clear to you that our will is to do your will and celebrate Passover by eating matzah and by refraining from chametz. But we are sick at heart because the oppression and mortal danger in which we find ourselves prevents us from fulfilling these commandments. We are ready and willing to fulfill your mandate that we live by the commandments, v'chai b'hem, v'lo shiamus b'hem, and not die by them. And we are observing your warning, protect yourself and keep your soul alive. We therefore beseech you to keep us alive, sustain us, and redeem us speedily, that we may observe your statutes, carry out your will, and serve you wholeheartedly. Amen. The story concludes, he then reached for a piece of bread and took a bite, urging his forlorn brothers to do likewise. And that's how they observed Pesach that year, by eating chametz and ensuring that they would live and they would not die. Tragically, this Rabbi David did not make it out of Bergen-Belsen, but many of those Jews who were with him that night, and then ultimately his wife and his daughters, did survive. And the story is mentioned here in Jewish Action. It tells us that the family, when someone reported to them that what had happened, what had occurred, so every year since then, they would recite this story at their Seder. And what a memorial, and what a powerful message. And so I implore each and every one of us that this is our mitzvah this year, to protect ourselves and to protect our community. And, you know, my family, my son, I'll just give you one quick example. My son, David, I mean, a whole back and forth about he was in Israel. He really wanted to stay, but it just wasn't working out. And we were able, you know, thank God, I never want to bring someone home from Israel, but we had no choice. And he came home, I think, last Wednesday. But we immediately put him into quarantine. He's in his room for 14 days. I'm not sure he's so upset about that. He doesn't have to see us. But he can't come out, because we have a responsibility to our own family and to those who we interact with. We can't get sick, because we can't allow others to get sick, and therefore we have to do our part. And you know, by bringing someone in from the outside, they get you sick, and then you walking down the block on Pesach day, and then you get someone else. We can't do that. We cannot do that. As painful it is that we can't be together with dear family and friends, we have to be responsible. And that is a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's our mitzvah this year. As important as it is eating matzah, as important as it is not eating chametz, fulfilling this mitzvah pikuach nefesh. Which brings me to my last and final point. You know, we say at the Seder, we open up the Seder with the halach ma'anya. One of the questions that it's always difficult, everyone talks about when you say halach manya, is that it seems strange that we make an invitation, that we invite people to the Seder when we've already sat down. Everyone who's hungry, let them come. Whoever needs, let them take part in the Pesach. And if you want to invite guests, you should have called them a week ago, a month ago, you should have called them. And so I thought about something different this year. Then maybe we're not really making an invitation at this point in the Seder, but rather we're just reflecting on our current plight. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. Right? That we're in a situation of lechem oni. We're in a state of affliction. We're in a lot of pain. We're scared. We're frightened. We're in the Shibud Mitzrayim. We're in the slavery of Egypt. We're in that dungeon of Yosef. And we don't know what can be. And nonetheless, even though we're in such a terrible state, nonetheless, we are mandated still to celebrate Pesach. Everyone still has to have matzah. Everyone still has to have their korban Pesach. You may not be in the mood. You may be so disappointed. You may be scared. You may be frightened. But we still have that responsibility. Hasha Tahacha, right now we are here. L'shana haba b'ard Yisrael. Next year, hopefully things will be different. Next year, God willing, we'll be in the land of Israel. Next year, we'll be free. We won't have to be trapped in our homes. But right now, what's our responsibility? It's Yesev Yechol, it's Yesev Yesach. It's to have a Seder and to make the most of it. And that's the actual Seder that's then mentioned in the Haggadah itself. The Haggadah, as we're having our Seder, we talk about the Seder. We talk about that famous Seder in Bnei Brak with the Rebbe Kiva and his fellow rabbis. And I'm sure we're very familiar with that. But that Seder took place sometime after Chorban Bayis Sheni, sometime after the destruction of the second base of Migdash. And it was a horrible time in Jewish history. A horrible time. The base of Migdash had been destroyed. Thousands of Jews exiled, taken off into captivity in Rome. Thousands upon thousands murdered. A horrific time. And yet, these rabbis understood that we still need to come together. We still need to celebrate. And their Seder was a powerful Seder. It wasn't like, oh, it's so horrible, it's so terrible. 5 minutes, we'll quickly run through Kadosh Baruch Hu's Yachas, Magid, and we're out of here. We're so depressed. How long did their Seder last? How long did their Seder last? I can unmute you, but y'all know the answer. Kol Salayla, it lasted the entire night. They had a Seder the entire night. Their students had to interrupt them and tell them it's time for Kriya Shema. They still had a powerful, meaningful, uplifting Seder. And I'm going to argue that maybe it was the most powerful, meaningful Seder they ever had. Because they recognized that even in the darkness, there's still hope. And we still need to be connected to the Ribono Shalom. We still need to make the most of this situation. Now, the Gemara in Pesachim says something very powerful and is very relevant for this year. Gemara quotes a brisa on Kuf Tezayin of an Aleph. Panar Abanan Chacham Beno Sholo. Right, it's the laws of the Manishtana. You have a wise son, to the wise son, you have someone who's a competent, the child asks the Manishtana. What happens if you have no children at your Seder? Ishto Sholo. So your spouse is asked the Manishtana. Vimlav, let's say you're having a Seder by yourself. You're all alone. You ever imagine someone having a, why would someone have a Seder all by themselves? Well, this year we know. You're all by yourself. Hu Shola Atzmo. Then you ask the question to yourself. You still have to engage in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You still have to engage in the mitzvah. You know, the Brisa comments on the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins by saying the following. You pour the second cup of wine, Mikan HaBen Shol Aviv. And here's where the son asks his father a question. I heard from, I was listening to a shir by, the name escapes, Rabbi Elephant from the OU. And Rabbi Goldberg shared something with me as well. That's a similar idea. The Sfarim say the Kan HaBen Shol Aviv. The son asked the father a question. You know who the Ben is? The Ben is us. It's Banim L'Makom. Right? We're God's children. We're the children. Here the child asks. Who's the child asks? Who's the Aviv? It's Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. The son asks his father. You're all alone having a Seder, just you and your spouse, just you yourself, you with just a couple guests. You know, is that your Seder? The Ribono Shalom. You're not alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there with you. And you can have a dialogue, you can have a conversation with Hashem, just you and Hashem. And what do you ask the question? You say, Hashem, Manishtan Halayla Zeh Mikol Leilos. On all our nights, we eat Chametz and Matzah. Halayla Zeh. This year, it's all affliction. I'm all by myself. I'm just with my spouse. I'm with very few people. I feel matzah. I feel lechemoni. All the nights, I have so many fancy dishes. Halayla zed. This year, it's maror. It's bitter for me. I feel just bitterness. All the nights, the expression and the question was different back then based on Migdash. I had all different types of meats cooked and roasted, all different forms. Kulot Sli, tonight it's all roasted. I feel burnt up. I feel like I'm on the fire. On all other nights, I dip once. Tonight, I'm dipping twice. Maybe I'm constantly washing my hands. You know what happens? Ufi Daito Shoben Avi Malamdo. But then Hashem begins to respond. Hashem begins to give you an answer. Mavchil ben Gnos. Yeah, he begins with degradation. He begins explaining how painful and how difficult. Hashem sits with you, and Hashem cries with you, and Hashem is with you. But at the end of the night, Messiah b'shavach. At the end of the night, it's shavach, it's praise. It's joy, it's celebration. The Dori Sha'amin Arei Avi, you begin from talking about how terrible it is that our father, our Aramean, tried to destroy me. At Sheyigmor Kol HaParsha, until you conclude the entire Parsha. You know what the Parsha concludes in Kisavo? It's Geula, it's redemption. They Vesil Makom Hazeh, and God brought me to this place. I think this year it just requires a little bit of perspective and a little bit of recognition that yes, it's difficult, and yes, it's painful, but nonetheless, it can be a powerful year. It could be the most meaningful and inspiring and uplifting year. You know, there was also going around, I'm almost done, 2 minutes, I'll just finish in 2 minutes. There was this other article, I know Betty Rose Eisenberg posted on one of our WhatsApp groups, the story of the Seder of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. How many of you can shake your head saw that story? Right, it tells a very powerful story that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it tells a story of a woman who came to this Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. And she was so pained. 1 year, she was a single mother, and the kids were supposed to be with her. And the last second, something happened with custody, and she wound up having a Seder all by herself. And she was so devastated and distraught. And so she went to Rabbi Jacobson, you know, talking to him about it. And Rabbi Jacobson shared with her the fact that Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, for everything that he did and accomplished, you know, he never was merited having children. He never had his own children. And apparently, his practice was that not only Pesach, but every Shabbos Yom Tov, he and his wife would just have the Suda together by themselves. That was their practice. They just, the two of them together. And then tragically, like 1 year, Nebuch, his wife, passed away. And so a couple of the Hasidim invited him for a Seder, to join them with the Seder. But the Rebbe declined all the invitations, and the Rebbe had Seder all by himself. And so Rabbi Jacobson said the following. He said, I just got the exact quote. He said, he could have had his Seder with 100 people, with 1,000 people. He could have had the Seder with 10,000 people. He personally arranged for all the army seders in Israel to be sponsored. He, the Rebbe, was responsible for hundreds of thousands of people celebrating Pesach on Pesach night all across the world, from San Francisco to New Zealand. But at the end of the day, he went and did the Seder on his own. He did not need anyone else to be close to God. He didn't need adulation. He didn't need validation. He sat alone and relived the exodus from Egypt. I was only 50 at the time, said Rabbi Jacobson, but despite my youth, I felt sad that the Rebbe had no one to be with for Seder. Why did he not invite even one person to be with him? But today, after hearing your story telling this woman, I may have discovered the answer, and it is just a personal feeling. As a true Jewish leader, the Rebbe wished to empower all those souls who would ever need to do their Seder alone. He wanted them to know that their solitary Passover Seder was powerful, meaningful, and real. Jewish history and the divine presence would dwell at their Seder just as it does at a Seder that has many, many more people there. And so I want to just leave you with, I think, that final thought, that it's in our hands. It's up to us, right? We can ask Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol Leilos, Manishtana Pesach Hazeh Mikol Psachim, and bewail our fate, and to be sad and be depressed, and it's okay to have those feelings. But maybe to recognize that maybe this year is an opportunity as well. Right? The first thing I said, the opportunity of achdus, of being there and taking care of one another, to support each other. The second idea is for that things take time, and to recognize ultimately there will be a geula, there will be a redemption, that we will emerge, that there will be a future, there will be joy, to do the mitzvah this year of taking care of ourselves, of engaging the mitzvah pikuach nefesh, and recognizing that is what God, for whatever reason, wants from us this year, And this year, so we're not having guests and we're not traveling. We have to take care of ourselves and other people around us and in our community. But ultimately, to recognize that it's up to us how we're going to celebrate Pesach this year. And it could be that, and I hope and I imagine, that this Pesach might be the most powerful Pesach ever celebrated in your life. And it's just based on what you do with it and how you spend that night like those five rabbis in Bnei Brak, not wallowing in your pain and in your suffering and in your and bewailing, you know, oh, woe's me and, you know, what has happened to us, but to open up that Haggadah and to go through the story and to understand that, you know, who's at your Seder? It's Kan HaBen Sholas Aviv. It's Avinu Shebas Shemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at your Seder. And if you're by yourself, you have Hashem who is listening, who's at your table, and to be able to have a dialogue and a conversation and to still ask the questions, to still try to find the answers, to still drink those cups of wine of Geula, of redemption, and to eat that matzah that maybe begins with Lechem Oni, with bread of affliction, but ultimately turns into the bread of redemption, the bread of leaving Mitzrayim, of leaving Egypt, and to still be able to sing and to celebrate Hallel and to praise Hashem and to talk about the Geula and the Lashon HaBav Yerushalayim and next to Yerushalayim. This could be the most powerful Pesach you have ever had. And it could be that this Pesach, you have an opportunity, if it's done right and done with meaning and focus, with understanding, you'll be able to share this Pesach with your children and grandchildren, God willing, for years to come. And to tell them what this Pesach was like and how you made the most of it. And to teach them how to be resilient. To teach them that even in moments of darkness and suffering and moments of great challenge, that we can rise above it and we can make the most of it. And to that to be a lesson that every year, hey, you remember that Pesach from 2020 and 5780, how difficult it was, and yet how meaningful I made it, how powerful I was, what experience I was able to have. I was able to still sing the songs at my Seder table and still laugh and still cry and still sing the Hallel and praise Hashem. We can do anything. We can accomplish anything. We don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this in front of us. Each one of us has to look internally and to see, you know, what things we need to do to better ourselves. But this is our challenge this year. I want to wish each and every one of you only good health and strength and blessings. And God willing, everyone should have a meaningful and powerful and uplifting and inspiring Pesach and inspiring Seder. And God willing, the Shana Ba next year, we'll be together. We'll celebrate. We'll be with family and friends. And God willing, not only here in Southfield or the rest of you who are joining us throughout the country and beyond, but ultimately, the Shana Bav Yerushalayim will be able to return to Yerushalayim in mass, the entire Jewish people, to fill Pesach in its fullest extent, to bring the Korban Pesach, to join millions of Jews ascending to Yerushalayim, to the base of Migdash, bringing a Korban Pesach and experiencing a true Geula, true redemption, and here we are, Amenu, speedily in our days. Chag Kasher V'Sameach to each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us.